The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Welcome to our show. We're at 9 o'clock. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism, your unabashed Trump cultist. And I will defend that decision to the death. I took on Donald Trump in 2016. I didn't trust him. I didn't know him. I don't care if you like him or hate him personality-wise, but no Republican president, including Ronald Reagan, has delivered in my lifetime for the conservative agenda the way this president has, putting America first. Not white America, not brown America, not black America, not male America, not female America, not transgender America, but simply America first. In decisions about what to do with our troops, more and more troops coming home. The first president in, what, 39 years, I think I read. I didn't go back and double-check the stat, who has not started a new war. Some new war in some faraway land. This president has been working diligently in spite of total opposition, of course, from the radical left that's in charge of the Democrat Party right now, and of course, from Democrats in general. That's their job when they're the opposition party. But unfortunately, also having to fight against constant deep state skullduggery and establishment Republicanarianism, which includes globalism and open borders and bringing in foreign workers when Americans still need jobs, especially as we recover from the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. And now, not just one, count them, two Middle East peace deals in the hopper because of the efforts of this president, in spite of a phony impeachment scam, in spite of a round-the-clock, nonstop, corrupt, coordinated Democrat media smear machine, not only here in Colorado, but around the country, calling him out for anything and everything he does. Whatever side of an issue Trump is on, they're on the opposite. And then if Trump changes his position, well, he's doing the wrong thing now, too, because, oh, I don't know, the science has changed or whatever. Nancy Pelosi said, with the announcement of this Israel-Bahrain peace agreement or peace discussions, that what a great distraction for the president in this time of crisis. And that's a paraphrase, not a quote. And yet this president continues to deliver. So for all of you old guard Republicans, including the Texas Republican who wrote me as the new Republican National Committee man and asked me if I really believe that Joe Biden is a pedophile, and I sent him all kinds of pictures of creepy, sleepy, rapey, allegedly, hiding Joe Biden, groping and sniffing and dragging, grabbing girls by the arm to bring him over close, rubbing them up against the front part of his suit, you know what I mean. He just wrote back and said, I will never vote for Donald Trump. I despise him. I would vote for a skunk before I would vote for, you know, for all of you folks, whatever. your personal pride or your personal disdain for a New York liberal, a former New York liberal businessman who wheels and deals and punches and weaves and bobs and goes lower than you'll go, in light of all of this success, in light of a radical left agenda now driving the policies of the Democrat Party toward higher taxes, toward burning cities, toward an agenda in our schools that, when we talk more about it in the 10 o'clock hour, will make you, if you don't want to cry first, will just make you so very angry. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. If you, as a Republican, as a independent, as a former Democrat, when the Democrat Party was more normalized, can just simply say, I won't vote for that guy. He's just too mean. He's just too nasty. I don't like his personality. Or for whatever the reason, in light of the tremendous accomplishments, the record-setting economy, the record-setting bounce back from the most significant medical event of perhaps of my lifetime, then shame on you. I just loved it when I read last night that former chairman of the Colorado Republican GOP, Ryan Call, has announced that he fully supports Cory Gardner, and he's voting for Joe Biden. I think he lives in Nevada now. Maybe it was Utah. I know he has a Mormon. He's a Mormon, so maybe Utah makes more sense. I think he's back in Utah. Regardless, he supports Cory Gardner. He's voting for Joe Biden. Man, oh, man, when I heard that last night, never have I been more happy to have been part of the cabal that outed the multiple-term chairman of the Colorado State GOP, Ryan Call. A lot of those planning sessions went on right there in my conference room. And I'm not taking credit for it, because there were people who really did the work on the ground and generated the votes. And I remember being at that state assembly and the arrogance and the cockiness and the dirty looks from Ryan Call and some of his supporters, because we Tea Party people, we constitutional conservative Americans who were tired of losing as Republicans, who were tired of Republicans who pass a platform and then just ignore it, compromising with the left, not pulling the agenda further back to the right, but just simply slowing down the slow march to the left into socialism. And as we see in Democrat-run cities and states around the country, anarchy and death and destruction. And the victory was sweet. The victory was pretty significant. Didn't take multiple votes or anything else. And Ryan Call was gone. And boy, oh boy, did he have a long memory every time I'd see him after. There was no hello. There was no friendly, hey, you know, you got me. Or maybe I should have listened to all of the activists on the ground who were sick and tired of a Republican Party that wasn't listening to them. Now, I will say, when I became a 2016 delegate, that Ryan Call was professional. There were things to learn from him as the former chair. He'd been to national conventions multiple times, and we were able to communicate on that level. But I just use him as an example of these Republicans. And there's a growing list. It's irrelevant, because what Donald Trump did to win the presidency and what he's going to do in a much bigger way this time is he grabbed those workers, those manufacturing, those people who work in manufacturing and farming and business startups and just a wide swath of people who look at what the Democrat Party not only stands for but won't call out and condemn, and said, man, oh, man, you can't not associate me with those extremists anymore. So, you know, this growing list of George Bush Republicans, and that would be a great description for Ryan Call, that say, I just can't vote for Donald Trump. You guys are irrelevant. Bill Kristol used to be a regular guest when I was doing a daily morning show on another station. And he'd been on here with me at 710 KNUS a couple of times. And he went on his anti-Trump tirade after Trump became a president and actually started delivering the Republican platform, delivering the constitutional conservative, cut regulations to stimulate the economy, lessen tax rates to stimulate more revenue. And Bill Kristol, because he was just too butthurt to admit he was wrong, just became a leader of the Never Trumpers. And the last interview I had with him, as we were starting to get into why I was so quick to stand up for Donald Trump, and it started with his inaugural speech, which the media called dark and disturbing, and his first address at the UN, where he called out the leaders of terrorist nations and said, "It is up to you to get your people, your religion under control." And I said, wow, this man has no fear. And then when I saw the deep state, the FBI, and others, the Department of Justice, just all of these entrenched Obama bureaucrats and appointees gathering together their forces to try and take this man out. It went from, well, thank goodness, not Hillary, to thank God for Donald Trump. And it's gotten better and better. And now we see exactly where we're headed as we march on to the November 3rd election. And that is approval in the black community up over 40%. That's a death knell to Republican, to Democrat electoral hopes. 8% the average for Republicans. Hispanic support is up. Support among women is up. And I know we've got the suburban housewives who put on the mantle of Black Lives Matter, not understanding that Black Lives Matter is not a benevolent group standing up against police brutality. And shouldn't we stand up against police brutality against all races? I mean, the numbers of actual deaths at the hands of white police for black suspects or black detainees is minuscule in the scheme of things. But Black Lives Matter is not a benevolent group that is standing up against police brutality against especially people in the black community. Their own founder admits, it's on YouTube, you can play it. I've played it 100 times here on this show. What is her name? Patricia Cullors, I think. Cullors, C-U-L-L-O-R-S. She talks about, we're trained Marxists. They're anarchists. Look at their website. Look at their mission statement. And then you suburban housewives who put your kids in strollers and go out to support a Black Lives Matter march, actually at least take ownership for what you are doing. It's not going to matter. The tide is changing. I didn't look at the article, but I heard folks talking about the article in the Denver Post that said Cory Gardner's closing the gap. I was with Cory yesterday, fired up. You can feel what's happening on the ground, even right here in Colorado. And that doesn't mean we can back up, back down. It means we've got to act every single day like we're 20 points behind. Go to the cologop.org, C-O-L-O-G-O-P.org website. Sign up. Go to trumpvictory.com. Go to defendyourballot.com. I've been asked by several in my position as Republican National Committee Man, including one of my best friends, former Congressman Tom Tancredo. Please make a focus on voter fraud here in the state of Colorado, ballot harvesting, all of the things that Republicans have ignored and have allowed Democrats to increase their vote counts and significantly alter the landscape here in Colorado. It is, I'm telling you, it is a focus from the RNC through the Trump campaign down into the Colorado GOP, and everybody understands the efforts that will be made by the Democrats this year to utilize the virus as an excuse to dump mail ballots out and especially dump them into battleground states that aren't yet equipped for an all-mail election to try and influence the outcome. And I assure you, Tom, everybody else who's asked me about this, it is a focus. And if you don't have the time or the energy or the physical capacity to knock on doors or make phone calls, write a small check. Go to teapartypatriots.org. There are action items every single day, updated constantly, that you can do right from the comfort of your own home. We have to act like we are 20 points down every single day between now and November 3rd. And if we do that, we will join this president, as we did in 2016, in celebrating what in 2016 was an upset victory, and what now in 2020 begins more and more to look like a likely victory. But it needs to be big, because there will be lawsuits. There will be vote counting that goes on well after the night of the election. And they'll be trying to do to Donald Trump what Al Franken did in Minnesota when he won his Senate seat, counting and counting and counting and waiting until they got ahead from more boxes of ballots in people's trunks, and then getting a judge to declare victory. And then it turned out later, and I know there's dispute about this, but there is good evidence to suggest that the Republican actually won that race ultimately, but he conceded before all of the counting was done. He was just worn down. No Republican can respond that way this particular year. Our phone number is 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. I expect the potential of a lot of liberal callers in the 10 o'clock hour. And I just want to tell you, if you are listening for the first time to this show, if you are a liberal or a socialist or a Democrat or whatever the label is, you wouldn't vote for a Republican, or you have never voted for a Republican, or you're certainly not likely to vote for a Republican this time around, please let our call screener know when you call. I want to put you to the very top of the heap and get you on, because in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have a conversation that you will not believe. And part of it stems from this slightly edited video from Tay Anderson, the school board member, or as he likes to say, the director. Tay Anderson, young, powerful political activist, the man who changed the name of the Stapleton neighborhood by simply threatening to march on that neighborhood. And what you're going to learn in the 10 o'clock hour, when we are joined by a left-wing activist, her name is Gina Hawk, is that the Denver public school system is indoctrinating your kids. And I'll give you just a taste of what we're talking about with these couple of short Tay Anderson clips, edited only to remove the cursing. This is Tay Anderson.
That's what I'll say. Because what we're not going to do is we're not going to disrespect people. We're not going to sit here and talk about people are trans, because black trans lives matter and trans lives matter, period. We're not going to talk different and degrade our LGBTQIA plus folks. We're not going to degrade our non-binary folks. And for those who think that are like, once we get Tay Anderson out of office, it will all change. No, you're mistaken. Like, your facts are like super mistaken, because before I was on the school board, we were doing inclusion work. During my time on the school board, I strengthened our inclusion work. After my time on the school board, there'll still be inclusion work, and we'll still be making sure we're serving all students. And so I really want to just put this out there, that if you got anything negative to say around pronouns or LGBTQIA plus brothers and sisters, one, f*** you, and two, you're not going to be allowed to comment on my post on Instagram or Twitter or on Facebook, because I'm not going to allow bigotry to just be out there, period. If I have the power to delete it, guess what? Swipe. It's deleted. And we're not going to sit here and act like people are different than one another just because you're uncomfortable. Maybe you should like move to a different country, like how you tell us black folks when we say, hey, we want to change America. And everybody's like, well, if you don't like it, then move. All right, you move. If you don't like it, then you move. Because I'm really getting sick and tired of folks disrespecting different.
Now, apparently, this Instagram video was in direct response to my 10 o'clock guest and her family, and especially her husband, who stood up to defend her on social media This woman who has voted left, and I don't think there's much of anything that she and I would agree on with regard to social issues, things like abortion or, a country founded under God, whatever, doesn't matter. But we have found common ground, not because Tay Video is a foul-mouthed, dangerous director of the Denver Public School Board, but because Denver Public Schools is foisting an agenda on your children without your knowledge, and they could care less whether you like it or not. You may have heard Tay in that video, which I think was made in direct response to my 10 o'clock guest, and we'll play part two in just a second. But he mentions LGBTQIA+. So remember, it used to be gay rights, then it was LGBT rights, and then they added Q, and now there's I, and there's A, and now it's plus. And I just want to run back down the list of what these letters stand for. And because we're up against the break, we'll take our break, and we'll do that on the other side. But I just want, especially if you are a left-leaning person listening to the show for the first time or whatever, I just want you to understand. I understand there are people who are racist, that are prejudiced, that have stick their nose up in the air because someone is homosexual or whatever. I believe in America, people get to live the lives that they choose to live. And if someone is home, I don't care who someone loves or who someone sleeps with. I'd rather not know about it. But what's happening with this agenda is they are changing the way your children look at their own sexuality. And they're telling lies about what exists as man and woman, and what the fact that there are two genders in the United States of America and in Canada and in Mexico and in China and everywhere else around the world is just simply biological fact. So you can't talk to me about the psychological issues that come up for people who believe they're programmed wrong. They're in the wrong body. They know that they have male genitalia, but they have lived their lives or felt always like they should be a female or whatever. None of that is the point. Those are topics that will be debated, I imagine, for decades to come. In the kind of America that I believe in, those kinds of conversations can happen. And if schools want to talk about different perspectives on those issues, that can happen too. But parents have a right to know about it. Parents have a right to see the curriculum. Parents have a right to decide if they want their child to be exposed to that kind of a curriculum. And Tay, as much as I despise you and your behavior, the injuries you foisted on people at the Stand With ICE rally by blasting your megaphone siren into their ears, the tactics that you will use to disrupt other people's rights to be heard, I despise that. And I say I despise you. I don't know you as a person. I know you as a liar because you told me back in June that, yeah, I'll come on the show, but I'm taking some time off. I think it was until August. So here we are in September. But your tactics, your belief that any view outside of your view is not to be heard, is what makes you my enemy. And you know what? In this next video, you say there are millions more of you than there are of us. My friend, I guarantee you, that is absolutely not true. And that's not a threat or a threat of violence or, hey, you know, I'll meet you out at the old smoking lot or whatever. It is that you have the benefit right now of a complicit media, of a complicit school system, of a complicit Hollywood and entertainment industry, and now of a complicit sports industry. But you do not have the soul of America, not white America, not conservative black or Hispanic or transgender or gay America. You have a group of people, a choir that you are preaching to, and you have the ability, because law enforcement stands down every time you show up, to foist your will. There's a great awakening coming. We are not going to cave in to socialism. We are not going to cave in to Marxism. We are not going to turn our children over to your radical agenda in the Denver public schools. And we're going to spend the 10 o'clock hour exposing it and how you respond to someone who in all other ways would likely be aligned with your worldview, especially on social issues and things like that. You guys are eating your own, and it's going to be fun to watch. I know we've got callers on the line. I've gone long in the break. So we'll play that other clip of Tay Anderson on the other side. Also, we, of course, are going to talk about yesterday was 9/11. And if I have time, I may tell you my personal 9/11 story. But also at 9:40, we're going to check in with a man who experienced his own 9/11, one of our own Benghazi heroes. John Tig Tigan will join the show as well. And then, as you may have heard from the show promo, in the 11 o'clock hour, and I know this is a little sketchy because he's traveling, but we believe we'll get a good signal sometime in the 11 o'clock hour, and I will have my very first interview with the spokesman for the Denver Police on the ground, president of the Denver Police Union. His name is Nick Rogers, and I cannot wait to have my first conversation with that man and to thank him for his courage. All that's ahead if you stay with us. I'm Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back at 931. One line is open, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Text messages are rolling in. If you are one of the lefties that I am inviting to get on the show and you can't get through because the lines are full, download the 710 KNUS app and send me a text. If you download the app, it takes 2 seconds. You can not only listen on your phone, but you can also push a button and text right into the studio right here at 710 KNUS. And if you send me a phone number, I will have my producer call you. I want to hear from the lefties. And let's read a couple of these. I'd love to ask Tay-Tay, how about the actual math and reading scores of the DPS kids? It's a great question, and I don't know the answer, so maybe they're doing fine. That has not been historically accurate for Denver Public Schools. They've been horrible. And if they are spending their time foisting this LGBTQIA+ agenda on kids, then I imagine they're not spending so much time on reading and writing. And let's see, one more. Excellent commentary on Tay Anderson and similar thugs. Thank you. Ooh, Tay doesn't like that one. Tay does not. I saw one of his social media posts where he said, if you call me a thug, that's just another version of the N-word. That's just another way to use the N-word. This is what they do. They are terrified of having actual conversations. What does he mean by they? Does he mean black people? No, I mean radical, extreme leftists like Tay Anderson. You are a thug, Tay, when you injure people with your bullhorn. You remember the people that you brought, what they were saying to the black conservatives that were at the Stand With ICE rally? You're an Uncle Tom. You're a white man's N-word. You're a this, you're a that. The name calling. You weren't stopping it. And you were injuring people. And I know you apologized on the Stephen Tubbs show, and good for you. And maybe you actually call out those tactics now. But calling you a thug is a reflection of your behavior, not your skin color. And this is just another one of your tricks. And by yours, I mean you and the people that support you, the people that look at the world like you do, the people that think it's okay to march through Larimer Square and disrupt diners downtown. You guys are screwing it up for yourselves. You are making more and more Donald Trump voters. And I'm grateful for that. I would love to see peace between now and Election Day. But frankly, I know for a fact that if you guys keep this up, all you're doing is making things better for the people on my side of the political spectrum to your detriment. So I hope you do. Here's the other minute of Tay Anderson responding directly, I believe, to my 10 o'clock guest.
Everybody's like, well, if you don't like it, then move. All right. You move. If you don't like it, then you move. Because I'm really getting sick and tired of folks disrespecting different individuals in our community. And so I just wanted to come to y'all and say real quick that if you have an issue with anybody a part of the LGBTQIA plus community, if you have an issue with pronouns, and if you have an issue with Black Lives Matter, I'm not the person to follow, and I will drag you if you comment with some bigot crap. But, you know, just wanted to give you guys a quick PSA, and hopefully that will see you guys there on Sunday. As you know, the racists are going to try to take over Sunday's Black Lives Matter event in Adams 12 because they are uncomfortable with the fact that Black people are humans. Like, you know, oh, shocker. But we're not asking for anything special. We just want you to recognize us with the same amount of energy that you recognize a white man or a white woman. And so we'll see you on.
See, he's just a hypocrite. People are going to show up to counter, and I don't even know what he's doing in Adams County. I don't really care. People are going to show up as a counter protest. And what he says is that's because you hate Black people, because you don't want to recognize us as human. That's all we're asking for. It is such a big, fat lie. And we're going to expose the hypocrisy of Tay Anderson and the Denver Public School Board, who could care less about the concerns of a mother in the 10 o'clock hour. And I know we've got callers on the line. I apologize. I'm going to take a break early here in just a minute to make sure we have a good long stretch to talk about another 9/11, not the one that occurred 19 years ago, but the one that occurred 8 years ago in Benghazi with one of the heroes from that day, John Tig Tigan. Many of you know he is also helping set up defense teams for the violence that was allowed to happen against people like me who showed up to support the police in Denver back on July 19th, people who were showing up and disrupting sign-waving events held by, you know, ladies on a street corner, coming in, grabbing signs, intimidating, scaring, following, delivering packages to their homes. It's just outrageous what's going on. But I cannot leave this segment without reminding you of the theme song between now and Election Day for Wake Up with Randy Corporan.
Lock in. Sniffing hair and groping kids all day. You got cloth on your face, sheltered in place. Now you want Kamala because of her race. We will mock you.
Hypocrisy knows no bounds on the left. And you know how you know that you're right? It's when the other side won't debate with you. Instead, they have to try and shut you up. We don't do that here. If you're a lefty, you want on the show, 303-696-1971. Just make sure my producer knows it so we can put you to the top. For everybody on the phones right now, my apologies, but we're going to take a break right now so we have a good long segment with my friend Tig Tigan. I always do that. Tig Tigan. And he was one of the ones who almost sacrificed his life trying to save our ambassador and our other heroes on 9/11/2012, just 8 short years ago. So I hope you'll stay with us. It's Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Man, so much going on around here. Can barely keep up. I want to say thank you to the people who take the time to send mail to the radio station. It really means a lot because, you know, it's so easy to send a quick Facebook chat or a text or something like that. To actually type up a letter and put it in an envelope and get it to the mail, it just shows an extra level of care that and don't need to do it. I love your texts to the studio. I see them even after the show. I go back and look. Facebook messages, any way that we can communicate is great because time is of the essence as well. But as soon as those letters come in and the dogs sniff them and the chemists check them out for any chemical attachments, it's such a joy to get them and open them. And so for the folks who sent mail that I got this week, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'm getting a lot of text messages, people saying, don't forget to explain to us what this LGBTQIA+, what all these designations mean. And we're going to get back into that when we take on the Denver Public School Board and Tay Anderson with a radical leftist mom. And I don't know about radical, but an extreme leftist mom who's had enough of her children being indoctrinated. Gina Hawk will join us in the 10 o'clock. But right now, we all know what the anniversary was yesterday. And there were some tremendous tributes on the Mark Levin show last night, on Stephen Tubbs' show yesterday. I have not told my story of what I went through, or where I was at, and just the odd day that it created for me, that heavy sense of foreboding. But there was another 9/11 of tremendous significance. And that one happened just 8 years ago. And it involved our embassy under siege in Benghazi. And later on today, I'll be speaking at an event that will be joined by one of the heroes of Benghazi, Mark Ozgeist. But right now, we're joined by another. And if you're a regular listener to 710 KNUS, you know him well. If you watched the movie The 13 Hours of Benghazi or read the fantastic book of the same name, I highly recommend it. Then you know our next guest. His name is John Tig Tygan. And Tig, thanks for giving us some time this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you a bill in the mail.
Yeah, of course. I you put up a beautiful video on Instagram yesterday to commemorate the lives that were lost. Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, Tyrone Woods, and Glenn Doherty. And just talk a minute now. We're 8 years in the rearview mirror. You were on the ground and defied orders to try and save these four lives. And talk about it a little bit. How do you feel when this anniversary rolls back around?
I wouldn't say it's not really hard. I feel like it's a little bit kind of heartbreaking, just the fact that nobody was held accountable for the lack of action for that night, even prior and after. You know, because if they would have sent them the support that they asked for, again, even in 2011, they would still be alive. If they sent the support that Ambassador Stevens was requesting for prior to him going to Benghazi, he'd still be alive. And then, you know, if our chief of base didn't stop us from leaving when we wanted to leave, they'd still be alive. And when we requested for support, if that was sent, Roan and Bub would still be alive. Bub, if they would have sent support that we needed initially, you know, Bub wouldn't even have to come down to Benghazi, for one. And then afterwards being lied to, just the family members were bold-faced lied to right in their face, in person, right there saying, you know, this is what happened. This is how it happened. This is why it happened. And all of it was a lie. You know, that came from Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration, which, guess what? Biden's part of the Obama administration as well. About a month after, even longer than that, they still kept lying to the American people, you know, kept trying to say it was over a video, over this, I don't know why they had kept doing that. I think it's just, to me, it was just childish. They try to blame it on a video, and just they could just, you know, we had an American flag in the yard. They're going to attack it. They don't have to have a reason except for that reason alone. You're Americans. And the lie to the American people about what happened, Ambassador Stevens, afterwards, even after we told them what happened, and they still didn't want to, sorry about that, you know, set the record straight. It's mind-boggling, you know, and the fact that, you know, Cheryl Mills, they were not held accountable. They got promoted, and, you know, to sit there and say, well, I lost the paperwork underneath all my papers. Man, you just allowed two people to die because of your incompetence. You know, it doesn't all, I mean, all of it does fall on Hillary Clinton's shoulders. And even more now to me, well, even back then, because nobody was held accountable. So she was literally covering up for people being murdered.
Yeah, remember, you weren't here, but you know, Susan Rice was on the Sunday morning talk show circuit talking about this filmmaker. They actually executed an arrest of this filmmaker and tried to make the case that some obscure video triggered these terrorists to attack our embassy, and subsequent analysis, subsequent events, subsequent disclosure of the underlying information has made it quite clear that this was a commemorative event for the original 9/11 because they had a ripe target that was left unprotected by Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and the whole class of clowns that were running the country back then.
Yep. And that's what it is. I mean, you had politicians run the country instead of leaders. And again, that's what you're going to get if Biden gets in office. You're going to get the exact same kind of politicians. You know, at least Trump might not be perfect, but he's a leader. He's not somebody who's going to back down. He's going to do what's right for the country. And when the threat on the embassy in Baghdad was there, I mean, he freaking pulled people out and he sent the Marines in. I mean, for all we know, if they would have been in office, they would have sent more freaking people in there, not military, just more people to get injured. I mean, I don't really know, because their mindset is just they truly just do not care about the American people. I mean, they're telling people to go down to Chinatown in the middle of the so-called pandemic, and, you know, Trump's trying to lock things down from it coming in. You know, it's, again, they're politicians. We don't need more politicians. We need leaders. And,
It's outrageous, and I appreciate that you are working as an activist now, not only on, you know, speaking out about from your military background, former Marine, private security when you were on the ground in Benghazi, that this president, I mean, can you think of a president who has done more with regard to veteran health, with the changes in the VA, with the raises for the men and women that are serving today, with his just the level of respect that he shows to the men and women of our military? Is there ever been a president in your lifetime that's been any better at it?
Yeah, my life, I mean, I don't know about better, but again, I think Reagan was pretty good at it. I'm not really a political person.
Sure.
I just kind of got thrown into the fire and, you know, I'm just kind of burning with it, I guess. You know, I don't really know a whole lot about what the past presidents really did, besides.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's move from that. There's no question that Donald Trump is doing everything in his power to make a positive difference.
I mean, just being a veteran and seeing the difference, you know, the VA is not perfect, but it's a lot better now. There's a lot of small things that could still do better, but he definitely changed a lot within the system to help veterans out big time. I mean, not everyone, but a lot of veterans are getting, you know, their treatments done faster and better. But it's a long ways to go.
I mentioned as I was bringing you on that I'll be with Mark Ozgeist this afternoon, speaking at an event that he's the keynote speaker for. And the first Benghazi hero that I met was when I was emceeing an event in Larimer County. Chris Tonto Peronto was the keynote speaker that night. Of course, you've been a speaker at many events, and you're working hard around the state of Colorado and around the country to empower citizens to defend themselves from the violence, the political violence that's being wrought on conservatives right now. And we talk about that periodically, and we'll have you back on to talk about it again. But one thing I've really noticed from you guys is it's really hard to get you to talk about the actual experience in Benghazi. But in the 3 or 4 minutes that we've got left, is there anything you'd like to impart to our listeners about just how significant what the decision you had to make, ignoring orders and the whole nine yards, what drove you to do that, and what you had to fight your way through to try and save those 4 dead folks?
For me, it wasn't really that hard of a decision to make. I don't think for the other guys the same way. I mean, is this something that I don't think it's taught. I think it's just inside you. I mean, it's that fortitude to just, you know, hearing somebody screaming on the radio, hey, if you don't get here now, we're all going to die. it's just something that triggers. I mean, we wanted to go beforehand, but then it was just like, no, we don't care about it. You know, we don't care about our jobs. We're not there, you know, just because of the paycheck. We're actually there because we love our country. We want to kill terrorists, so they don't come to our freaking back door. You know, we had no idea what numbers we were going into. We heard it was about 100 or so that was already on the compound. Again, there's pretty much only five of us really doing it, because the sixth guy was our team leader. He didn't do anything. So really, you had five people going on to a concert, unknown number of people, anywhere between, again, 50 to 100. But it was just the fact that you had Americans in trouble, and we knew we were the only hope, because it was a hostage rescue situation. 17th Feb, they're just a bunch of militia guys, which is, you know, just a bunch of gang banger thugs. They're not trained in how to do this stuff. They just know how to shoot a gun sometimes. So, again, it was just... You know, it was just, we had to do it. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
No,
it's inside you that you just have to do it. Same thing with cops. That's why they do what they do sometimes, because they just do it. Obviously not all, because we see some cops that still hide around corners, you know, when, during a school shooting, because it's not ingrained in everybody. Again, it's not something I believe can be taught. It's just something that's in certain individuals. And I usually don't say this, Bobby, but it's true. I mean, we were just so eager to go. And then that was, again, being told to stand down. It just told me that he was not going to let us go unless we left. And that's just plain and simple. And we never would have went if we didn't go on our own.
We're talking with John Tighagen. John, were there any consequences? I know you were private security, so the military has any, you know, legal control over you that they can punish you in some way. But were there consequences for others who violated orders that day?
No, nobody got in trouble for violating orders, because if they did, it would just prove the fact that there was a stand down order given. You know, when we left, you know, if we'd have got killed over there, it would be, you know, the insurance wouldn't have paid out to our families, because we were outside of our scope of duty, because we were there to protect CIA and CIA personnel only, and only do rescues for CIA personnel. You know, we told them, you know, like since 2011, we've been telling them, hey, if you guys get in trouble, we're going to come help you. So, you know, because, you know, they got attacked twice prior to 9/11. I was there the second time they got attacked, and there's only two security personnel that night to defend 8 acres. So, I mean, it was never a good ordeal for them ever. So the consequences, again, they could have fired us. Obviously, if we'd have killed a civilian or something like that, we'd probably have been thrown under the bus. But then again, maybe not. It's really hard to say. You know, just kind of going back to the Blackwater ordeal in Iraq, how they threw those guys under the bus for, Raven 22, I think is what the mission was called. You know, they did their job, and, you know, they threw them under the bus just because of politics. It had nothing to do with anything else but politics. So...
And one thing we have not seen under Donald J. Trump is our military heroes being thrown under the bus, even if someone makes a mistake or reacts in anger or steps beyond the bounds of perhaps what the expectation was of how they would react to a situation. It's just like these cops who have to make these split-second decisions, and sometimes make the wrong one. But when guns are moving around, when it's dark, when somebody's getting into a car looking for a knife and the car is full of kids and he's got a felony warrant for rape, you know, people react. And you can't judge that in the rearview mirror with a millisecond by millisecond analysis of their every move. You've got to understand that human beings in these circumstances sometimes are going to react, especially the ones who have the courage to be in the middle of that fight in the first place.
Exactly. Yep. People are so easy. You know, Monday night quarterbacking.
Yeah.
People always want to do it. They don't want to actually get in there and be the quarterback.
Well, Tig, you know how grateful I am for the things that you're doing around the country. It seems like you and Tonto and Oz have kind of gone your separate ways. Do you guys stay in touch at all or touch bases on an anniversary like the 8th anniversary of Benghazi yesterday?
Occasionally, but you know, I mean, I was traveling all day Thursday and all day yesterday. So that's the thing. I mean, we're just got such a busy lifestyle, but we try to get in contact. We try to do events together when we can, but like I said, I mean, we just start doing our own separate things and start, you know, just like everybody else, we just do our thing. And
yeah,
you know, if we cross, We call.
It's just because you guys were just doing your job that day, right? You were just there and you did your job.
Yep.
Well, God bless you for your courage. Thanks for joining us at the Band Mirror Stop the COVID Chaos rally. What a great night that was. And again, I know we'll be talking more and sharing what we can about ways for people to remain protected in this very dangerous election season. God bless you, sir. And as always, thank you for your service.
Sure, thank you.
All right. Tig Tegan, what can you say to someone who does what he did and continues to serve in new and different ways other than thank you? Anyway, we're late on the break, and for everybody who's waiting on the phones, we're going to get to some calls for sure because I expect our next guest to light it up. Her name is Gina Hawk. I'm so bad with names. Gina, forgive me. And I don't think we agree on much of anything except that what Denver Public Schools is doing to your school-age children has to be exposed and has to be stopped. And that's the topic for the 10 o'clock hour. Stay with us. It's Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.